Yeah. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, so good to be together today. Happy Easter to everyone. Oh, Easter should bring back some really good memories for some of us. I know for me, my most exciting thing as a kid was the Easter egg hunt. Not for you all, apparently. But, you know, when I was a kid growing up in Louisiana, it's funny, we actually used to go hunt for eggs, but they were real boiled eggs. Anyone remember that? Okay, gotcha. It's an old thing. I think we should bring that back. Bring that back. Too many allergies. Oh, my God. I don't think there were any. Were there allergies when I was a kid? I don't think so. So we are going to have our Easter egg hunt. Obviously, we've got some weather issues. And so what we're going to do, parents, is when service is over, you're going to go up and grab your kids, and you're going to wait on the landing on the other side. And they're going to hide all the eggs in the fellowship hall. So we, in here, you can exit this door, or you can exit the door there, right in the little foyer area there. Or if you want to watch the kids, you can go in and watch. We'll just kind of stay on this side so they can hunt their eggs. So it's always entertaining watching the kids run around. Today they'll be running into chairs and tables. They'll play at their own risk. It'll be funny. We have any doctors, EMT on site? We'll see. There may be some blood. I don't know. But it'll be fun and memorable either way, okay? We have these lilies here, and I found out the shelf life on the lily is about 2 weeks, but maybe a little bit longer. But if you have lost a loved one in the last year, we want you to take a lily with you, because obviously we don't want to have it here next week, so you take it home. And there actually have been a few losses. And so if you know Forrest Booth lost his grandmother a few weeks back. Aaliyah Akins lost her mom. John Rosario recently lost his mother. Rob Woods lost his sister. And unfortunately, I got a call this morning. Benita Brooks' father, Pop Lewis, passed away this morning on their 40th anniversary. So we're going to say a prayer for them here in just a second. But please keep them, their families, in your prayers. Let's pray. Father, you are good. Your name is great. And Jesus, it's to you. You are the reason we're here this morning. And we do thank you, those of us that have hope, we have hope in the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead, just like you said. Thank you so much that you overcame the grave. You robbed the grave, as the song says. And Father, yet, God, there are many of us that are grieving loss, Father. We grieve with our brothers and sisters that have lost recently. Father, we definitely want to pray for all of these. And God, I'm sure there are losses here, Father, that I've not mentioned. But just fresh in our minds are Pop Lewis and really Benita and her entire family. This is a major loss, losing her mom just a few years ago and now losing her father. It is that season of life, God, for many of us for sure. So we pray for all of the families. I pray for Julie, the Hoveys, as Julie lost her father here recently. Rob Woods losing his sister. John, his mom. I know that's a very, very difficult thing, Father. It doesn't really matter how old our parents are. We're really never really totally ready to say goodbye. And for Aaliyah Akins, losing her mother, Forrest, his grandmother. God, please strengthen them. Help us to be a comfort for our brothers and sisters during this difficult time. Help us to love them. Of course, we're there for them in any way they may need. Lord, thank you. Please put your loving arms around them. Protect them, cover them, love them, hold them ever so closely to you. Jesus, we thank you. Be with the message this morning. May we say only what you once said. Comfort those that need comforting. Father, make anyone who needs to be made a little uncomfortable, God, do that too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, hey, look, I don't know if you guys noticed, you know, Louisa is back with her husband, Brandon. They're here. Joy is back as well. And Joy, who's that guy you got next to you? That's Josh. Josh Sims. On Friday, Josh proposed to Joy. And you said?
Absolutely.
Congratulations, Josh and Joy. Congratulations to you, Lou and Jill. You now have both of them out of your pockets. That's awesome. Well, not entirely. Still a wedding, but almost. Amen. Very excited for Joy and Louisa. Welcome back. This is your home. You're always welcome here. And we're looking forward to you moving back someday soon. All right. So the title of my sermon this morning is Burning Among Us. Burning Among Us is our title. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35 this morning. And this is the story of the road to Emmaus. It's really a great resurrection story. And so, you know, you preach I preach a lot of Easters over the years, and you're always trying to find a creative angle on whatever story you're doing. I mean, Jesus rose from the dead, just like he said, amen? But I love this story. It's an incredible story. It's a great story about even when you're most discouraged or most disappointed or most disheartened in life, sometimes we just got to keep on walking, amen? But today I want to talk about this idea of burning among us is the title, because our theme this year is light of the world. You see what I did there, burning among us? All right, good. I'm glad you're with me. Let's go. Let's read here together in Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Of course, this is after, you know, this is when Jesus, you know, the death, the cross, he died, and the women, they go to the tomb and they find the tomb empty and they report back everything that happened. The women went very early in the morning, you might remember. So it says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And there was a lot that had happened. A lot that happened with Jesus, of course. Before his death, his entire time on earth was something, but can you imagine what the city was like with Jesus being crucified? I mean, the week prior, riding in on a donkey, the whole parade, the whole celebration, and then literally within a week, those same men in that same crowd are yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And so they do. It says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Recognizing him. That's an interesting thing, right? He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. I'm sure their shoulders slump, just like you would walk if you were probably pretty depressed. One of them named Cleopas asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem? You know, it smacks a little bit. Like, are you stupid? You know what I mean? Like, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? What things? He asked. I love Jesus. Jesus often, you go through the Bible, you know, you read through the Gospels. Jesus knew everything, but he was always curious. He knew everything. He was always the most curious person in the room. That's another lesson, right? Even if you know everything, stay curious. Amen? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amaze us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Wouldn't you like to heard that sermon? This is 7 hours. It's about a 3-hour walk, right? If you walk, leisurely, it's about a 3-hour walk. Of course, I'm sure they're stopping a few times. They stopped once to be downcast. And I'm sure as Jesus talked, they were like, "What?" So maybe it took 3 hours, might have took 4 hours, who knows? But you imagine walking with Jesus and he explaining everything. Everything. How it all tied together. Since as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us." That's a good sermon. "Stay with us. For it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Amazing, huh? They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And the church said, Amen. Two people walking away from Jerusalem, away from the city of faith, away from the cross, away from the resurrection rumors. They were walking in despair, shattered hearts, slumped shoulders. And why? Because everything they believed in has come crashing down. They followed Jesus. They loved Jesus. They hoped in Jesus. And now he's dead. Their hope had been nailed to the cross. But we had hoped, they said, that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Stop right there for a second. We had hoped. That's where we all live at some point. We all live in this space of we had hoped. We'd hoped that our marriages would survive. We'd hoped that our children would come back to God. We'd hoped that our loved one would recover. We'd hoped that some kind of healing would come our way. We'd hoped that our faith would be stronger by now. We'd hoped that the church would be in a different place. Maybe you hope for a better preacher. I don't really know. But whatever it is, we hope that this season will be so different. I had hopes. I had hoped. Anyone ever been there? Point number one, we had hoped. These two disciples are in a place that we've all visited. Sort of that in-between stage, right? You're between your prayers for and what had happened. We prayed for it, but what really happened was something different. Between belief and unbelief, between the cross on Friday and the resurrection on Sunday, we spent a lot of time probably in that space in some ways or another. It's not that these guys didn't know the story. They heard the women say that the tomb was empty. They heard it. They heard them say that the angel says that he's alive. But you know what? Facts don't always rebuild our faith, do they? Because when your heart's broken, it is so hard to see clearly. When you got a broken heart or shattered dream, you can't see things very clearly. Everything's a little foggy. Everything's a little confusing. And depending on how you respond to fogginess and confusions and frustration, the next or secondary emotion for me is anger. I get angry. I'm feeling something else, but I know anger. That's the one I can get to pretty quickly. How you feeling? Angry? And hungry. Those are the feelings I got. Got a hungry feeling and an angry feeling. You know what I mean? Hunger's not on the wheel, though. It's not really on the feeling wheel at all. Here's what's remarkable, though. Jesus is walking with them. Jesus is walking with us. We just don't recognize him. I know we had hope, and you go, I hoped. But you know, it's even in those moments when you're in between, that is when Jesus is still walking. We just don't see him. We don't recognize him. Because grief blinds you. Loss just, it shuts you down. It messes you up. It confuses you. Disappointment distorts your vision about everything. When I'm disappointed, I'm so disillusioned. I'm just so, I can't see straight. And disappointment, we live there so, so often. But he walks with us, even in our disappointment. I love that Jesus doesn't rebuke these guys. And he even doesn't reveal himself right away. See that Jesus does that. He's patient. See, if he, you know, we probably, as we're kind of going through that stage of unbelief, Jesus doesn't come in and just rebuke you. He doesn't. He just walks along. He doesn't even reveal himself right away to us sometimes. And that can be frustrating. You're like, come on, Jesus, where are you? Like, I'm with you. No. You ain't nowhere. You know what I mean? We just get so flustered, right? But he's walking. He's listening. He's even asking you questions. But we're so frustrated, aren't we? Resurrection doesn't always show up in bright lights. Sometimes it starts with just quiet presence. And Jesus knows how to do that very well. He just knows how to be there with you and be present with you. Does that give a little comfort to you? I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm just kind of saying, hey, when you're going through those moments of like we had hope, whatever it might be, just know Jesus is there. He's quietly, he hasn't revealed it entirely, and sometimes he will. But you can go, you know, I know the Lord is there. I just don't see him. Lord, please reveal yourself. Please show me. He says, I'm right here walking with you. Amen. Point number two, but he was with us. You know, after listening, Jesus begins to speak. He walks them through the scriptures, not with judgment, but with clarity. Amen. It says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. No doubt he started in what we know as Genesis. the first gospel, where the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head, but will be wounded in the process. In Isaiah 53, some of the clearest prophecy of the suffering Savior. He was pierced for our transgressions. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Genesis 22, reminding them of, don't you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? Don't you remember a father willing to sacrifice his son? And God provides the lamb. Exodus 12, the Passover lamb, the innocent blood covering those under judgment. Leviticus, the entire sacrificial system, pointing to the need for a substitute. Deuteronomy 18, 15, where Moses says, God will raise up a prophet like me from among you, he says. Daniel 7. One like a son of man, coming with the cloud of heaven, receiving everlasting dominion over everything. I'm sure he just hammered it home that the Savior must suffer. It had to happen that way. And everything in the scriptures points to this idea of resurrection. And this was a difficult concept because the Jews believed in resurrection. They just believed the whole nation was resurrected. But an individual raising from the dead, it was unheard of. Who would have ever thought such a thing? And so what looked like failure, Jesus says, is fulfillment. This is not a failure. His death on the cross is not a failure. It's a fulfillment of all the scriptures. You just got to look more closely and look more deeply. There must be suffering. It has to happen. But it's a fulfillment of everything God had planned and everything God had said. And I'm going to tell you, if the Savior had to suffer something, then so will we sometimes. We will have to go through some things. Trouble will come our way in this life. It'll make us cry. It'll make us lay awake at night. There will be trouble in our lives. And we must never become so entitled that we think, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be struggling with anything. I mean, I did everything right. First of all, that's a lie. You didn't do everything right. You didn't. But there is some suffering. But we don't have to suffer exactly. See, Jesus, in the end, paid the ultimate price for us. And when Jesus speaks, something has to shift for us. Something has to be different for us. We're not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. This is a moment that we all should be longing for, isn't it? The moment, I don't know about you, but I don't want just belief. I want burning, baby. I don't want to just believe. You know, when people say, all you got to do is believe. I don't want to just believe. I want burning inside of me, you know. I want that fire that Jeremiah talked about. I don't want it shut up in my bones. I want fire, amen. I want to be on fire for Jesus. Not just believing. I believe. I'm a believer. What does that even mean? Even the demons believe. Believing? No, I want to be on fire, amen? The word should set us afire. I don't just want knowledge. I want revelation from God, amen? And oftentimes, we don't recognize Jesus until after he speaks. After he breaks the bread, after what I call the walk, the word, and the welcome. The walk, the word, and the welcome of fellowship table. And I'm going to tell you, this is really who we need to be as Christians.
This is really our calling. We ought to be the people that are walking along with others, sharing the word with others, and welcoming them to some table fellowship. Amen.
I want to challenge us. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs a walk. Sometimes it's a long walk with someone where everything sort of gets sorted out. All of the differences, all of the angst. I talked about this, the benefits of walking, you know, releasing those proteins into our brain and feeling better and no longer sitting around ruminating about the past and comparing yourself to people in the present and anxious about the future. You know what I mean? Get up and move, amen. Go for a walk as you are able to, amen. But sometimes that's what will help us. That's what will help us. If you're a guest here this morning at the Gateway City Church, we welcome you. We're glad you're here with us. But someone is likely going to ask you to participate in one of these things. To go for a walk with them, to open the word with them, or to share or to welcome you into some table fellowship. And if nobody asks you, call me. 573-489-6573, and I'll be happy to do it. Amen. Jesus was there then. He's there now. We may not see him, but he's there. Right now, today. And some of us, maybe even right now, as you're sitting here and as we're singing songs and you're taking communion together, maybe you're starting to realize, maybe something's starting to burn in you. You know, I think it's time. I think it's time for me to get over that thing, to give up that thing, to turn myself in, to change this thing. Maybe it's there for you. But he's been with us this whole time. If there's a burning in your heart, that's not confusion. Amen. That's Jesus. Amen? Amen. Point number three, and we'll wrap up. So we turned around. As soon as their eyes are open, I love it. They don't waste one more second. They get up, they pivot, they rewind, they turn around, they go back. It says they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. You know, it's really easy when you hear a message to make excuses. Well, it's 3 hours back. Come on, man. It's 3 hours back and we just got here. And, you know, you can talk yourself out of it so easy, and it's almost dark. I mean, it was evening when Jesus, I mean, we're gonna be walking in the dark. There's no street lights, you know what I'm saying? There's no cars passing by. Anything could happen. It's dangerous out there. There's a lot of reasons why we won't pivot, turn around and go back. We can start making excuses, right? Well, we'll go in the morning. Morning, it'll be light, bad, you know, tomorrow. Forecast says it's going to be nicer tomorrow. I'll deal with it tomorrow. Right? That's our tendency, right? We know we're hit. We know we're struck now. We know we're moved. We know the word has been preached. We know God is doing something. You know he's burning in your heart. But you kind of go, well, yeah, not now. I mean, I came to church on Easter. I was just trying to do something good. They invited me, but I can't get into all that. And I'm busy. Got a lot going. I don't have time to study the Bible. Listen, if you don't have time to study the Bible, you're too busy. You're too busy. I mean, how's that going to go with Jesus someday? Jesus, I would have studied, but I was really busy. I mean, busy doing what? What were you too busy doing? The same road they walked away from, hope, they're now using it to run back, amen. I love that. See, the resurrection becomes real. And when it becomes real, it demands a response. It demands repentance. It demands reconciliation. But it demands something. It demands that you get up and that you move and that you turn around and that you go back. You do the 180. You go, I'm going back. I'm going back to Jesus. Amen. They didn't stay in Emmaus. They didn't talk about how great that Bible study was. They didn't journal quietly. You know, this is really good. This has been really good. It's a good day with Jesus. Just go journal here. They didn't go back to their normal lives. They walked away in sorrow. They ran back in joy. Even though it was dark, the road they once walked with grief, they're now retracing it with fire in their hearts, even into the night. How are you going to see? My heart's on fire, baby. It'll light the way for me. You know what I'm saying? They turned around. Because resurrection, it's not about what happened to Jesus. It really is about what's happening in all of us. It's what's happening in us. Is it resurrection? Is it occurring in all of us? Do we have hearts that burn? Do we have feet that move? Do we have a new revelation for God's mission? Are we on fire for God? And they went back with the message. It's true. The Lord has risen. You feeling any fire today, brothers and sisters? This Easter, I'm sure some of us are still carrying our own version of we had hoped. But I want you to know he's with you, breaking bread with you. He's there even in the silence. Even when you walk away, he's there. And maybe your heart is burning right now to turn back. Amen. It's not emotion. I know some of us, we're like, well, I don't want to make an emotional decision, preacher. Let me reflect on this a little bit more. No, it's Jesus that's prompting you. Amen. Because he's alive right now. And he is burning among us, brothers and sisters. So don't walk away today. Turn around. Run back. Even tell someone. Because this isn't just a story to believe. This is a Lord to follow and a fire that we need to carry with us for the rest of our lives. He's risen. He's with us. And he is burning among us. God bless you.